Support for WPR comes from the Madison Museum of Contemporary Art, an independent organization dedicated to creating experiences that educate, reflect, and inspire. More is at mmoca.org.
Support for WPR comes from Rutabaga Paddle Sports, offering kayaks, canoes, and outdoor equipment for anyone wanting to experience the natural beauty of Wisconsin water. 2620 Rimrock Road in Madison or rutabagashop.com.
Why don't generic drugs get the same respect as brand name medicines? We'll explore some examples of that, whether there's any basis for the bad rap, and wonder if you would prefer a brand name prescription over a generic, and why or why not. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, October 21st. Our guest wrote about the bad rap generic drugs get in a recent piece in the New York Times. We'll also talk to her about the concern over the cost of prescription drugs, and we'll welcome your perceptions and your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Katie Thomas, a reporter. She covers the pharmaceutical industry for the New York Times. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Thanks a lot for being with us. So what makes, first of all, a generic a generic and not a brand name? What has to happen to make it a generic drug?
So what happens is when a drug first comes on the market, the company that developed it and owns the patent for it gets an exclusive right to sell it for a number of years. And then eventually, when their patent expires, generic drug companies are allowed to make their own versions of the drug. And so when that happens, they are allowed to essentially make it's the same, what they call active ingredient. The actual drug itself has to be very close to the same as in the patented drug. It has to work the same in the body as the patented drug did. And then once that happens, typically several different generic companies kind of flood the market with their generic drugs, and the branded version almost goes away. It becomes a minor player on the market.
And these generic drugs then are as safe and effective as the original?
Yes, that's what, nearly every major health authority says, and several studies have found.
Yeah, so what prompted your piece, Why the Bad Rap on Generic Drugs?
Well, so as you mentioned, I covered the generic drug industry. I covered the whole pharmaceutical industry, so generic drugs is one part of what I cover. Every time that I write a story about generic drugs, and by the way, I write a lot of stories about problems, with generic drug manufacturers, it's just part of the range of the stories that I write about. I also write about problems with branded drugs and things like that. But anytime I write any story about generic drugs, I often get a number of emails from readers expressing concern about them and distrust. It's just part of, it's just something I expect at this point. And then I was watching the Netflix series Orange is the New Black, it became kind of a little bit of a plot point in the series because they were discussing the fact that this prison where the show is set as part of budget cuts had switched to generic drugs, and it was portrayed in a sense as a way as something that was not desirable. And as someone who covers the industry, I thought it was funny because everyone takes generic drugs. 84% of all prescriptions that are dispensed in the U.S. are generic, and if you have private, very good insurance, chances are that your insurance company will require that you take generic drugs or pay much more for them if you opt to take the brand. So basically everyone's taking generic drugs, and I just thought it was funny that it was pointed out as something that was this kind of budget-cutting measure, which of course it is, but it's also not so bad is kind of the point that I was trying to make.
Yeah, and it's... unless a doctor specifies otherwise, a prescription that we get is going to be the generic, essentially.
Yes. I mean, you know, it does vary state by state, and it does, your insurance does vary, and you know, things like that. But as a rule, you know, many states actually have rules now that allow a pharmacist to automatically dispense something as a generic if it's available that way, even if your doctor wrote you a prescription for, say, Prozac or Lipitor. When you go to the pharmacist, chances are they will dispense it as a generic. That's not always the case, but you know, it often is.
Yeah, it's funny because I know in my brain that generics are essentially the same as the brand name drug, but my mother, my late mother, my both of my sisters were on Synthroid, a medication to help an underactive thyroid gland. And I eventually fell into the same fate, and I needed to have a prescription, but I got the generic. And I remember, I have to admit, it went through my head, well, why am I getting the generic and they got the brand name?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because there is a certain, I don't know what it is, that there is a certain, somehow this is inferior.
Right. And it may have been, forgive me, I don't know the history of Synthroid, but it may have been that they were taking it before the patent had expired. So perhaps they were taking it because there were no generics. I don't know the answer to that.
Right. That's what I'm assuming is the case, too, because when they were first taking it, that's what it was called. And maybe now, if they got it filled, they would get the, I don't even remember the name of it, but I just know it's the generic of Synthroid. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm not alone. It found that various surveys of people found that while even educated people thought, well, gee, yeah, they're, you know, generics are the same as the brand name. They actually, a large number said they'd rather have the brand name prescribed to them.
Right. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, and it was interesting. There was one study that showed that, you know, if you ask people, do you think that they're generally the same? You know, they say yes. Do you ask if there are any more side effects for generics? They say no. You know, all of those types of, should people be taking more generic drugs? They say yes. But then when they asked, would you prefer to take generic drugs yourself, you know, more of them said, no, I would rather not. So it's also interesting that disconnect between, you know, they know in their brain that it's generally, you know, safe and effective and just as good to take the generic, but there's something remaining there that's, and deep in our psyche that says, no, I'd rather take a brand.
Yeah, and then there was another study that was done by, you write about this in your piece, researchers at the University of Alabama asked people, most of whom were poor and African-American, about using brand name versus generics. And the African-Americans thought, what did they think?
Yeah, this was a really interesting study. Basically, what happened was it was a diabetes treatment, kind of an outreach program, and the researchers found that a lot of the, I think it was many women, but a lot of the participants were uninsured. Somehow they were paying for their own drugs, and they weren't taking some of their drugs because they were taking branded medications, and because they preferred them, but then they couldn't afford them, and so they weren't refilling their medications. So they did the study to try and get beneath that and kind of figure out what was going on. And so it was kind of like a focus group oriented type of study where they sat down and just talked to people about their attitudes and their views toward generic drugs. And, you know, they felt like they were being given generic drugs because of their kind of social and economic status. And so it was all kind of tied up in where they saw themselves in society and that they felt that, you know, other people were getting kind of the better product and they were being given, you know, generic drugs because they were poor and Black. So it was really interesting to see also just kind of how some of these other social and economic factors kind of play into attitudes as well.
We are talking about our attitudes toward generic drugs. Do you prefer generic drugs over brand name drugs, or is it the other way around? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Katie Thomas, a reporter who covers the pharmaceutical industry for the New York Times. And we were prompted to give her a call when we saw her recent piece, Why the Bad Rap on Generic Drugs. And that's what we are exploring this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about our perceptions of generic drugs. Do you have a sense that generic drugs are just like the brand name drugs? Or do you think that they are inferior? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with New York Times reporter Katie Thomas about her piece, Why the Bad Rap on Generic Drugs. And let's take some calls. We have Lori in Wisconsin Dells with us first. Hello, Lori.
Hi.
Hi. What do you think?
I had a situation that I was just so sick, taking all kinds of the brand name cough syrups and so forth to try to get better, and I couldn't. And I finally just got tired of it, and I went to, like, one of the dollar stores, and I just bought generic everything. And they seem to have kicked it, and I think they actually work a lot better than most of the brand name stuff that I've tried.
Really?
And ever since then, that's all I'll buy is generic everything.
Interesting. Well, that's a new one on me, Katie.
That's a new one on me as well. I mean, I guess technically the thinking should go both ways, but essentially that, you know, the active ingredient in the drug should be the same, whether it's a brand or a generic. So I can't speak to your experience, but it should, you know, it should work the same in your body, no matter whether you're taking a brand or generic drug.
Certainly are cheaper, though. Do you have a sense, Katie, as to how much cheaper generic drugs are than the brand name?
Yes, they are. Now, over-the-counter generics are a little different, so I'm not as familiar with just the price difference there, but often, you know, the price of a generic drug can drop by about 80% once it goes out, the drug, you know, loses its patent protection.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are the situations, too, where one time just a prescription drug loses its patent, and then I don't know what happens. Like Claritin. Claritin used to be by prescription only, and now I can buy it at the over the counter. What happened there?
Yeah, this is getting a little bit outside of my, you know, area of extreme expertise, but it's usually a tactical decision, a business decision that's made by the company that was making Claritin or the drug that goes over the counter. And what I think that they often try and consider is, you know, as I mentioned, they're about to, you know, basically lose all of their market share. And so it's one more way to kind of still try and hold on to sales. Because, you know, people do buy the branded version, you know, of, say, Advil, for example, or Tylenol. You know, they're going to be able to charge much less for it because they've got to set this consumer product at a price that people can afford. But they'll still be getting more money from it compared to if they just simply let it be prescription and then just lose their exclusivity on the market.
Thank you, Lori, for the call. Hope you're feeling better. Shirley in Madison is with us. Hello, Shirley.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I am concerned about the safety given the history of Lipitor's generic version made by Rambaxi, a company in India. I read a long article about it in Fortune magazine earlier this year.
It's a very good story.
Excuse me?
It was a very good story. I agree with you.
Yeah. And one of the things it talked about, in addition to the fraud that it perpetrated on millions of people who took the prescription, the generic, was that there seems to be very little control that the U.S. has for foreign manufactured generics, and increasingly most generics are manufactured overseas. And I was hoping you could address that. My husband has particular sensitivity to ingredients, and one of my concerns is he has been unable to take some generics, is that even if the bioequivalents of between 85 and 120 or whatever it is percent the same, that the fillers are different or something like that. So if you could address any of those issues, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yes. And as you point out, you bring up a couple of different issues which I can talk about. One is the overseas issue, and then the second is the fillers, you know, the inactive ingredients in the drug. And the other thing I would say is I wrote this story not really as a defense of generic drugs. You know, I don't want to be put in a situation where I'm a booster of them, but more just because I had noticed time again people had this mistrust of them, and so I was trying to kind of get at the bottom of why people mistrusted them when at the same time such an overwhelming majority of us take them. So the point that you raised, though, about the overseas drugs is a very good one. You know, as I think we probably all know, you know, generic drugs, just like every, and actually some branded drugs as well, but also just like every other product that we use, is increasingly being made overseas. And the situation with Ranbaxy, which was the article that she was mentioning, it's an Indian drug company, and it's gotten into a lot of trouble with the FDA for quality issues, not being forthright actually about when they did have issues, not properly reporting it to the U.S. And in fact, they actually settled with the U.S. government earlier this year for $500 million over some of these allegations. And so, I mean, this is one reason why a lot of people do not trust generic drugs, is because they feel like, you know, there's not enough oversight of these overseas companies. And indeed, the FDA has also said, they've acknowledged that they cannot test, you know, and inspect these factories as well as they can in the U.S. They recently passed this law, you know, intended to kind of, basically, they're going to be charging, they already are charging the generic industry additional fees when they apply for a new drug approval, and those fees are going to be used to kind of step up their overseas inspections. But of course, it remains to be seen how good of a job they do with that. And in the case of Ranbaxy, what happened was they discovered that pieces of ground glass in their Lipitor tablets, in their generic Lipitor tablets. Now, the FDA and Ranbaxy said that, even though that sounds horrible, right, ground glass,
yes.
They said that the particles were so small that the risk of actual harm to humans was very minimal. But still, it's very serious, very big oversight. And so they recalled them, and Ranbaxy stopped making atorvastatin, which is Lipitor, for several months, and then recently restarted. But this is a company that has had a lot of problems, you know, is an example of concerns that people have when they say that they don't trust generic drugs.
And some other generic drug makers, Lipitor's generic drug maker that had the spiders in the vials?
Yes, this is something that I wrote about a year ago. Yes, it's not Lipitor, but it was, this is manufacturing in the U.S. It was problems with companies that were making drugs in the U.S. And these were the sterile injectable drugs, you know, typically drugs that when you go to the hospital, and so you're sick, you're very sick, you will be given in an infusion or an injection. So they have to be very, very sterile and, you know, very precisely made. And there's been a number of problems with those drugs. Similar types of things, actually, glass and metal particles turning up in the, you know, in the medicines, a lack of sterility, mold, fungus. Like I said, there was some spiders and other bugs that were found inside vials. Again,
with all of these things, they're horrifying, right, to people that read about them, and they are very concerning. But luckily, we'll say, those haven't resulted in, as far as we know, any known injuries. And that's kind of unlike the compounding pharmacies. I don't know if you followed that, but these compounding pharmacies that in Massachusetts last year,
right,
that were producing drugs that had a very dangerous fungus that ended up killing, you know, dozens of people. So there's also, you just got to kind of put it into a little bit of perspective.
Well, we will continue talking about generic drugs versus brand names, and we'll continue taking your questions and your perceptions and wondering if you prefer generics over brand names, or is it the other way around? Do you agree with our guest, at least, that there is a bad rap on generic drugs, that many of us maybe in our heart of hearts think that they are somehow inferior to brand name drugs? What's the situation with you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Katie Thomas. She's a reporter and she covers the pharmaceutical industry for the New York Times. We are talking with her about her piece where she explores why this bad rap on generic drugs exists. And we will continue after we check the latest news. Thanks again to all of you who contributed during our fall membership drive. It was a great success. Thanks to you. If given a choice, would you want to take the brand name drug prescription over the generic? Or do you think they're essentially the same thing, the only difference being that the generic is less expensive? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Monday, October 21st. We're talking about how we perceive generic drugs this hour with a New York Times reporter who covers the pharmaceutical industry, Katie Thomas, and we welcome your questions and your perceptions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We have also posted Katie's piece, Why the Bad Rap on Generic Drugs, on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Well, we have a Facebook post from Kim who writes, while I've had really good results from generics myself, I work in ophthalmology, and there are some generics that are, to put it bluntly, terrible for surgical patients. They don't work well at all. Unfortunately, you don't know who's going to do well with them and who is not. We give all our patients name brands for post-ops. Did you find that out, Katie, in your research for this story?
Yeah, it's so interesting she said that because one of the people that wrote me after that article was published was an ophthalmologist who mentioned the same thing. I'm assuming she's talking about eye drops or something that goes in the eye. And I actually filed it away for possibly doing a future story because what he said and I'm assuming what she says too is that first of all, let me back up. It is more difficult to make most of what we've been talking about here is pills, things mm-hmm. that you swallow. When you get into the area of making creams and sprays and drops and things like that, from what people tell me, it's much more difficult to do those things. And then perhaps there is an argument that you need the expertise of a brand company. And so what this ophthalmologist that contacted me after the story wrote said is that the brand, the generic companies just can't seem to get it right. And he had the same concerns and always used brands. And so there's one example of a situation where there's an exception. From what I understand, like I said, I've filed it away because I found it interesting and wanted to write about that in the future. Yeah.
And we know we talked a little bit in our first half hour about some studies that looked at consumers' perceptions of generic drugs. Do we know if doctors think pres- or consumers, I mean, I'm sorry, I can't even talk right now. Do we know if doctors think the generics are as good as the brand name?
You know, there was also a study done of doctors that found they had similar concerns, interestingly. So,
yeah. All right, so let's go to Kay in Madison. Hello, Kay.
Hi. My understanding is that generic drugs are allowed to be within a certain range of the active ingredients. So, for example, if the brand name is 100%, the generics are allowed to be just as a number, like 90 to 110%. They're allowed to fall within a certain range. And I do know a number of cases where people who've been put on generic seizure drugs, maybe the insurance company has forced them to try the generic, saying they won't pay for the brand name, have had breakthrough seizures and had to go back, eventually had to go back on the brand name, which worked for them. So I'd like your guest comments on that.
Katie?
Sure. Yes. So this is something that has come up, especially with seizure drugs, and I think a few other illnesses, where, you know, it's absolutely crucial that the drug works perfectly. And to be honest, I'm not sure where things currently stand with those seizure drugs, but I know that there had been a lot of concern about them not working properly when they were generics, and I think that some of the patient advocacy groups had been speaking out about this as well, and I just don't know enough about the issue to give you a definitive answer, but I know that is something that is of concern, you know, both to patients and to, I think, that their doctors. On the second issue of the range that's permissible, there is a range that's permissible because I think, I mean, again, I'm no manufacturing expert here, but I think that when you're making anything, whether it's a branded drug or a generic, you can't, you know, always 100% of the time be 100% accurate. So there's some level of range that's allowed. My understanding is that it's actually more narrow. People often see that there's an 80 to 125% variability. And that's not a true 80 to 125% range. It's a little bit more narrow, and it gets into like statistical stuff that I don't want to bore everyone here with, but it's a lot actually more narrow than that. And it's also the same standards, from what I understand, that the brands are required to be held to when they perhaps change their make a significant change in their manufacturing or something like that. They also have to prove to the FDA that what they're making is similar enough to what they were making before, and they're held to that similar standard. So there is variability that's allowed, and I know that's a concern of that people have.
Okay, thank you so much for the call. Now we go to Ben in Neenah, and Ben is a physician. Hello, thanks for calling.
My pleasure. I'm actually not practicing. I'm an MD, PhD, and I chose to stay home to raise my four children. And I will tell you, based on my knowledge of the pharmaceuticals, I would gladly buy the generics, and I give them to my own children. I think people give way too much credit to the brand name companies, thinking that it's the brand name and it must be pure, whereas both are just companies trying to make a dollar, and the generics are able to produce the active ingredient as well as the brand names.
Thank you very much, Ben, for the call. And that's what you have found too, right, Katie?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, I think it's you know, within the medical community and the drug community, it's pretty widely accepted that they are, you know, just as safe and effective as brand drugs.
But you pointed out a couple of instances where that was not the case in your piece,
yeah.
And we talked some about Lipitor. Also, Wellbutrin, tell us about
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah, so this is one that patients have been complaining about
for years, apparently, that it wasn't working properly. And it's an antidepressant. And so, I think it was also kind of hard to evaluate. It wasn't something like, you know, if it wasn't working, you were going to have a seizure. It was a little bit more subjective about whether it was working or not. But nevertheless, patients and their doctors had been complaining about this for a while. The FDA investigated, took them way too long, according to a lot of people that cared about this. They eventually found that one dosage of the drug made by one generic company was not actually the therapeutic equivalent of the branded drug. And so they had to stop selling it, and I don't know if it's actually back on the market, but there were still other generic companies that were selling that same dosage form, which was, available.
Do you know what consumers should do if they suspect that their generic may not be working as well as the brand name, if consumers have any rights when it comes to what they get?
Well, a couple things. I mean, first, I would say, talk to your doctor. Your doctor probably knows much better about your health than I would. And if you truly suspect that you can always get a generic drug, you just may have to pay more for it. Your insurance company may not cover it, or they just may require that you pay more of your share of the drug. Your insurance company will require that you only pay about $10 for a generic drug. But if it's a branded, if you want the branded version, you're just going to have to pay more. So if you really feel like it's not working, regardless of whether you can prove it or not, if you really prefer the branded drug, you can always get it. The branded companies are more than happy to continue selling their drugs.
We are talking with Katie Thomas. She's a reporter. She covers the pharmaceutical industry for the New York Times, and we are talking with her about her recent piece on why generic drugs get a bad rap, why some people think that they are inferior to brand name drugs. And we're wondering if that's the case with you. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with New York Times reporter Katie Thomas about her piece, Why the Bad Rap on Generic Drugs. And we're welcoming your questions and your perceptions of generic drugs versus brand names. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Do you believe that generic drugs are as safe, as effective as brand named prescriptions? We welcome your questions and comments. Well, I might have an excuse for my mouth not working. Laura emails, I take the non-generic drug Synthroid. It is quite costly every month for my small budget, but my endocrinologist has told me that there have been better results shown with the brand name of this drug. I'm also expecting, so maybe that has something to do with my doctor's preferences. I do trust my doctor. This was the first time I have ever heard a doctor mention a brand name being better or more reliable than the generic. Well, there we go, Katie. No, I'm not that's proof, but we were talking about that situation in our first half hour. So,
right.
Have you heard that?
Yeah, I have not heard that specifically about Synthroid, but there are examples, here and there. We've talked about some of them where doctors do prefer using the brand, and I would never question the doctor's decision, with regard to their own patient. There may, in fact, be some individual studies that show that he may have that experience with his own patient. That very well may be. I mean, like I said, I was kind of talking in very broad strokes in my piece. And like I said, also just more trying to get at the idea of so many of us take these drugs and yet we still don't quite trust them. And so kind of why is that?
Yeah. John in La Crosse emails, I heard that overseas, especially in third world countries, up to one half of drugs are counterfeit or diluted.
Yes.
How do we keep them out of the U.S.?
Yeah, this is, I mean, this is a very big concern in a lot of countries overseas. And, you know, and there have been some examples in the U.S. of counterfeit branded drugs actually coming in. You know, part of it is that there's not the same level of oversight that there is in, you know, in the U.S. In some of these smaller, poorer countries. And in fact, some drug companies, you know, there's a lot of drug companies in the world, and not all of them sell drugs in the U.S., and not all of them are inspected by the FDA or the European Medicines Agency, and they make drugs that are destined for other countries. And, you know, a lot of people have done research showing that those drugs are not as good and inferior and counterfeit. And, you know, there's all kinds of problems, especially when you leave Europe and the U.S. and Japan and other developed countries.
Dave in Waukesha is with us. Hello, Dave.
Hi, guys. I felt like the guest kind of breezed over the issue of certain drugs like psychotropics and drugs used in cardiology that have been shown not to be as effective as the brand name counterparts, and that there's a lack of testing. Really, there's only the equivalency of the ingredients and nothing else that's really done to support the same effectivity claim that generic drug makers make. And I was wondering what kind of standards could be put in place to ensure that.
Yeah, it's true that so generic, when a branded drug goes on the market, you know, they have to go through extensive clinical trials to see if the drug really works. Takes years and years and millions of dollars. And then the thinking is that when the drug goes off patent, the generic companies that make it don't have to go through the same level of extensive testing, because essentially they're trying to show that they can match what the brand is doing and that there's a body of knowledge already about the active ingredient. I'm not a policymaker. I'm a reporter, so I leave the opinions on whether people think that more extensive testing needs to be done to others. But it's true that they essentially have to. The only thing that they have to prove is that the drug works the same, you know, in the body as the branded drug. But they don't have to prove. They don't have to prove all over again. You know, its effectiveness. They kind of. The FDA has the assumption that it's the same, you know, that the tests that have been done for the branded drugs kind of stand for the generics.
Yeah. Well, you also wrote another piece over the concern over the cost of drugs, especially for people, mm-hmm. I guess, signing up under the new healthcare law.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, are they soaring now because of the healthcare law or what?
No, not because of the healthcare law. I don't, just because it's really starting to get underway now. I don't know that's the case. But there's a lot of different things going on. One of them is that, you know, all of the new drugs, or most of the new drugs that go on the market today, the new branded drugs, there's something called biologics. They're these very, very high tech and difficult to make, and therefore expensive drugs. You know, some drugs that go on the market now, the most expensive ones, you know, they can be $200,000 a year. Or, you know, even at the lower end, you know, sometimes there are drugs that come out that are $50,000 a year. Those are drugs that are fairly, the lower end are fairly widely used. The ones that are more expensive are usually for very rare disorders or cancers and things like that. So on that end, prices are going up. They're really skyrocketing. So there's that going on. And then the second thing that I wrote about specifically in that piece was about how we were getting an early indication of kind of the level of coverage, the drug coverage that some of these plans in the federal market and the new marketplaces would provide, and what some of the groups that were looking at this were finding was that they weren't as generous as kind of what has historically been true for people that are covered through private insurance, say through their employer. Mm-hmm. So they were going to have to, people were going to have to be sharing, you know, more of the cost of these drugs.
We have other callers. Robert in Brandon is with us. Hello, Robert.
Hello. I missed the first part of the program. Good morning, by the way.
Morning.
But I was just wondering, doesn't the FDA require that the generic drugs have the same exact same chemical compound as the brand name drugs? And so then couldn't it be inferred that they should have the exact same biologic activity?
Is it the exact same, compound?
Right. I guess you don't get identical. What do you consider the exact same? But the active ingredient, the actual drug in the drug, so to speak, has to be the same. And, you know, as we were discussing, it has to be, there is a range. The FDA says that it's a narrow range, but a slight range of, variability that's allowed. But it's fairly narrow and, and they have to, show when they test, the drugs in a small study of humans that the generic drug works in the body in the same way that it does, as the brand.
Yeah. So, I guess as we conclude, what's your answer to the question? Why the bad rap on generic drugs?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
I think it's a combination of factors. I do think it's all of these things that we've been talking about this hour. There are a number of exceptions and concerns that have popped up, whether it's the drugs that are made overseas where the inspections are not adequate, to some of these kind of known problems that have popped up that make people concerned and for good reason. The second thing is I think the name, generic, it conjures up kind of the budget aisle of the grocery store and, the scratchy tissues instead of Kleenex. I think that those are all things, to consider. I wouldn't minimize people's concerns necessarily. The point of the article was mainly to say, look, we're all taking these drugs. And for the most part, most major health authorities have said that they are, they're just as good as branded medication.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Katie Thomas is a reporter for the New York Times. She covers the pharmaceutical industry. And her piece, Why the Bad Rap on Generic Drugs, is posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Thanks to Robin Cherry for producing and directing this program. Thanks very much to Cynthia Schuster, who was our on-air producer. Thank you for listening. And also thank you to all who contributed during our fall membership drive. More than 6,300 listeners pledged, including 1,600 sustaining pledges. And we are pleased to welcome 1,300 new members to Wisconsin Public Radio. You donated more than $811,000 to fund the Wisconsin Public Radio programming that you depend on. Thank you so much. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.